And Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Lord, for the work you're doing in us. You're preparing our hearts to walk that holy road, that road of perfection that you want us to walk. And Lord, I thank you for working that out in each one of us, Lord. Bringing out all the old dross and bringing it to the top and scooping it off and getting rid of it. We praise you, Lord, that you're doing that in all of our lives. And Father, we thank you for putting a hunger for the Word in our hearts so that we can go in and study your Word and know what your promises are and know what the Word says about certain things, Lord. We just praise you, Lord, for that Word that's a standard bearer for our lives, Lord. We're putting the Word in our hearts, Lord. Getting ready for that time ahead that we'll need to overflow out of our hearts and our spirits, Lord, with that Word to the lost people of the world, the ones that you have called, Lord, and elected, and to come in, Lord, at this time ahead of us, Lord. And I thank you for that. I just praise you, Lord, for bold faith in each one of us to believe that you are a sovereign God, and you're on the throne, and you ain't coming off. And I thank you, Lord, that you're that away. I thank you, Lord, for the love and the grace and the mercy you have for each one of us, Lord. That you love us so much, Lord. That you, when we do mess up, you chastise us to bring us back in and to bring us back to that point where we got off of that road, Lord. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. I praise you, Lord, for the work you're going to do tonight in this fellowship that we have. Fellowship of like-minded believers that love to be around one another, Lord, that our hearts are connected with that golden thread, Lord, and you're tightening up that thread even more, even as we speak, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we are one body, one voice in you, Lord, and that's a mighty voice. That's a powerful voice, Lord, one that heals, delivers, and sets free the people that are in bondage out there. Father, I thank you for a powerful time tonight with you, that you're going to be in this fellowship tonight, Lord, in each one of us. And I just praise you, Father, that the outpouring is going to be awesome. In the name of Jesus, bless us, Lord. Bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Woo, glory be to God. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests tonight? Now, I want you to understand that when we pray, that these prayers are answered. We've gotten testimony after testimony after testimony of prayers being answered. You know why? Because our faith in the Lord to bring to pass those things that we pray for. We may not see it right away, but I'm telling you, it'll happen if we endure in our faith. It's going to happen. It will happen. And God says it's going to happen. And I believe it, and I know y'all do too. So anybody has anything they'd like to pray about tonight, bless God, it's going to happen. Just believe it in your hearts. Walk up and bring out whatever it is you want to pray for and watch God do a mighty miracle. Because I'm telling you, he's a God of miracles. Glory to God. All right, anybody need prayer or would like to pray about something?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Claudia's cousin by the name of Lisa has, she's in hospital now in intensive care. She's got pancreatitis and other issues, don't know what all's going on. So she's in critical condition. So I'd like to pray for her.
All right.
Holy Father, we thank you for many blessings and promises, Father, and we know that you do answer our prayers. We thank you for it. Father, I ask you would touch this Lisa, Father, just bring healing to all the different things that are going on in a quick way, Father, so that everybody recognizes it's it's of you and not anything the doctors are doing. Speak healing to her body in the name of Jesus. And you spirits of infirmity and whatever else is going on there, I bind you from her in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We command every cell in that body, every organ in that body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to rise up a mighty miracle right there, and she's going to be a testimony to your graciousness and your mercy upon her life, Father. And no one can deny the power of God in her life. And we thank you, Lord, that Stan's prayer is going to be answered tonight. In Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I do.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, anybody else? Well, I want to pray a prayer of faith for my daughter, Allison. Is that Pam? Yeah, okay, thank you. For my daughter Allison, in the name of Jesus right now, I come against those tormenting spirits in her life. Right now, I bind you up and I cast you off of her in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for opening up her eyes to the clear gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true gospel, not this mamby-pamby stuff that's going around, Lord, you know. And I thank you, Father, that she is going to be saved, healed, and delivered of all of the torment that she's been through in the last 6 or 7 years, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Father, that you're going to make a great example of her in my family and bring her with a testimony that only anyone could believe that it had to be God. And I thank you, Father, that she is born again, delivered, and set free even as we speak. Right now, in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Lord, that she is. Praise you, Father. And, Lord, I lift up my wife to you. She's been ailing here the last few days. And, Lord, I thank you that you have cast off that spirit of infirmity that we've been praying about. And she's now on the road to recovery. In fact, Lord, I thank you that her lungs are full of air. And she can breathe now very good, and she's not coughing anymore. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in her. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else?
I'd just like to thank the Lord for for bringing us up into His image. I can see that happening a lot. I can feel it. Father, thank you for bringing us closer to you and giving us your faith, so we can walk more in the image of Jesus Christ, allowing us to get ready for these times, allowing us and choosing us to do these things in your name. Lord, we ask that you continue to make us grow, to help us become more and more of the bride we need to become, and get ready, prepared for this work. Lord, I'd like to pray for the man child that's coming. Lord, protect him and bring him up in your ways fast, Lord, and allow us to see who he is. And continue to keep us informed the way you are through your word and through your revelations that we're receiving. Lord, I thank you for all these gifts and great things you're doing for us and keeping us informed and letting us know where we need to be. And if we're not, Lord, for those that need to know what's going on, Lord, I ask that you get a hold of them now and draw them close and give them some revelation in their lives, what they need to be doing, where they need to be going, our lives right now, what we need to be focused on. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen, David. And I'd like to add to it, if I might, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, I thank you for your gifts that you have given each one of us to be in evidence from this point on, Lord. The gifts that you have given us to bear fruit in your kingdom, Lord, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that all of these gifts are going to be spread out into this fellowship tonight, and it's for one thing and one thing only. That's to help the brethren. That's to bring the brethren up into this place that you want them to be at, Father. And I thank you for that, that your gifts are going to be in operation from this point on. In Jesus' name, amen. Does everybody believe that? Amen. I do.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. If y'all can't tell, I'm a little bit excited tonight. I've been praying, and God has blessed me. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else need prayer? Man, there ain't nothing God can't do in this world. I'll tell you what. I've seen him raise up people from the dead, seen him heal people that the doctor sent home to die. I've seen him save people that if you looked at them before they were saved, you'd say, there ain't no way that guy's going to be saved. But I've seen him save some pretty miserable people before. And I just praise God for it. So, you know, just don't put God in a box. You put him in a box, that's where he's going to stay in your life, not mine. He's out the box. I'm telling you, he's done a lot of miracles. We saw him split this what they call Goliath winter storm coming our way yesterday and go around us. All we had was just a little bit of rain. But people around us, in front of us, and behind us had plenty of rain. We didn't get that much. And I praise God for it. We've seen that happen time and time and time again, where we pray against a storm coming our way, whether it be a thunderstorm, a tornado activity, or whatever. It didn't make any difference. We pray God would answer our prayers because we believe. We hooked up our faith with one another, and God honors that, and prayers are answered. And if he'll do that, he'll do anything. If he'll fix a car, if he'll fix a water leak in plumbing, if he'll fix any, he can fix anything. He can do anything. I mean, if he made us, he can do anything. Praise God. So don't limit God in anything that you want or need. Anything that you need from God or anything you'd like to see God do in somebody's life, he can do it. And he will do it if we just endure in our faith to see it happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes God wants to take us to that place to where we're believing him implicitly. And once we get that in our heart, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing that God can't do. And he won't do for his people. He loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Just think about that. He sent his son here on earth to die for us so that we could live this righteous life that he wants us to live. And all we have to do is have faith, believe that he's working that life inside of us. He's doing it, and he's going to keep on doing it as long as we keep on believing. I mean, we're going from glory to glory to glory to glory. We're getting out of the sandbox, going to high school, graduating from college, getting a doctor's degree, and whatever else is ahead of us. Praise God. That's what God's doing. And bless God, he can do it, and he will do it if you'll just believe. Amen. All right, anybody need prayer? Hey, Judy.
Hi, sorry. I didn't
That's
know.
Good to
I
see you.
I got my mute on. I'll put my mute on.
Well, you're kind of breaking up, but that's all right, as long as you can hear us. You know, I've often read a lot about past preachers and evangelists, their healing ministries and their deliverance ministries and things like that. And to the T, every one of them had great faith, had bold faith to believe God. And that's what it takes. It takes bold faith to believe God. And the only way you're going to get that faith is to get in the Word and renew your mind with the Word of God. And when you renew your mind with the Word of God, you understand that Jesus is up there interceding on our behalf. He's up and said, Father, that's my old buddy down there, Michael, said we need to help that man out. And he'll help him out. He has many, many times. Many prayers have been answered. And he'll do the same for each one of us. And he does the same for each one of us. Look at all of you here. Praise God. Somebody prayed you in. Somebody prayed me in. That's a good God we serve there. I remember a testimony by John G. Lake when he was... He was in South Africa. There was an epidemic that attacked that country for somewhere like about 300, 400 miles in an area, 300 or 400 miles. People were dying. They were dead in their beds and children dead in their beds. There was all kinds of people just dying and dead all over the place. And he had a man in that he knew that God had appointed that man to pray. And this man would pray for days on end. He was praying. He got in under a thorn tree in South Africa there somewhere, out in the woods, I guess. And when Lake would pass by him in the morning, he'd hear that man praying. And when he'd come back in the evening, he'd hear that man praying. And sometimes Lake would carry a supper out there to him, or dinner or breakfast out there to him. And he'd get him up just long enough to eat it. And he'd ask him, he'd say, "How's it going, brother?" I said, "Are you getting through?" And he told him, he said, "Not yet. But you know, one day," he said, "Mr. Lake," he said, "I feel today that if I had just a little help in my faith, that my spirit would get through into God." And Lake went on his knees right beside him. He joined his heart with his, and they voiced their prayers to God. And as they prayed, the Spirit of the Lord overshadowed their souls. And Lake found himself in a vision. He opened his eyes, and he witnessed this scene. He saw, he said, a multitude of demons that looked like a flock of sheep. And the Spirit had come upon the other man also, and that man jumped up. He rushed ahead of Lake, and he started cursing that army of demons. And they were driven back to where they came from. He said they drove them back to hell or wherever they came from, is what he said. But you know what happened? The next morning, he said, when they woke up the next morning, that epidemic of that fever was gone. It had the power of prayer and divine healing destroyed Satan's work in South Africa that day. That's the type of faith that we need to have. And to keep on believing and enduring in that faith until you see something happen, until you see it manifested. That's the kind of prayer that we need. I saw A.A. Allen. This man was wheeled in on a stretcher. The doctors had told him to go home and starve to death. He had cancer of the stomach. He was starving to death. He couldn't eat anything, couldn't hold nothing down. And Allen preached on faith there for a little bit, and he laid his hands on him. He commanded that spirit of cancer out that man's stomach, and he commanded him to be able to hold something down in his stomach and to be healed in the name of Jesus. And he gave him a sandwich and a quart of milk. And told him to get up out of that bed and start eating. That man jumped up out of that bed. Well, here's the deal. The man had faith when he come in there, because what had happened, he put on his suit of clothes. He got out of his pajamas and all of that bed clothes and stuff, put on his suit pants and his good shoes and a good shirt before he came there. He knew he was coming up out of that bed of affliction. Praise God. That's the faith he had. He knew God could do it. He was just needing a little help to get over that hump. And A.A. Allen prayed for that man, and God hid him, and he come jumping out of that bed, grabbed that quart of milk, and downed it right there. And then he ate them two sandwich, the ham salad sandwich that A.A. Allen gave him. And he was healed. His wife was just a screaming, but she was just a crying. She knew what God had done. He knew what God had done. It was a miracle. And that's the way God wants it to be. He wants to be given the credit for everything. And he wants to be believed. He wants faith from his people. Praise God. He's going to get it from some of us. All of us. All he wants is that little mustard seed of faith. And he will move that mountain right out from in front of you, praise God. I guarantee you he'll do it. I've seen him do it. We prayed for the lady over in Memphis one time. Same way. She had cancer of the stomach. Couldn't eat nothing. Couldn't hold nothing down. We called her a little bit. She didn't weigh but about 75 pounds. I don't know if y'all have heard this story or not, but I'm going to tell it again because I'm fired up about God's healing and deliverance and setting people free from the bondages that they're in. And we walked in that little two-room apartment. She was in there in the kitchen, her head on her arm. She couldn't even hardly hold her head up. And we asked her what was wrong. She said, "I can't eat." Said, "The doctor sent me home. Said they couldn't do no more for me." And so we said, well, God can. I said, we told her, I said, do you believe that? She said, yes, I believe God can heal me. And we prayed for her. Now, we didn't see an instant manifestation right then, but we came back about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks later, pulled in there, and guess what? She come walking up to the car where we pulled into her driveway with a sack full of groceries, and the first thing out of her mouth was, I can eat pork chops now. Before, she couldn't eat nothing but beef broth or chicken broth. That's it, nothing solid. And she couldn't keep that down. But she'd already gained 4 pounds in those 2 or 3 weeks. Gained 4 pounds from eating solid food. And she did that. And the next time we came, she gained another 8 pounds. She was on the road to recovery, praise God. So God can do anything, and He will do anything. That's just one example. I've got, man, I could sit here all night and tell you some stories about what God has done. He's healed a water leak in my shop one morning about 4 o'clock. I had to go to work, and I didn't have time to sit in there and squeegee all that water out every morning. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you be healed, because I ain't got time to fix you. And I never had another leak out of that thing, out of that piece of pipe while I was living there. I never had another leak there. And that was that lasted for about 3 or 4 years. And then when I came to Tennessee, I went back one weekend, and it started leaking again. Well, the people that were there were not in faith. And I found out what had happened. I went ahead and tore into it and found out what had happened. It had freezing busted. The pipe was busted. There wasn't no reason for it not to leak except God. I'm telling you, God can do anything. That water was going through that pipe, busted or not, and it wasn't going to leak a drop because of the faith that I had that God was going to fix it. And God gave me the faith. That's the great thing about it. God gives us the faith to do those things. Praise God. Amen. Boy, I'm fired up tonight. I don't know about y'all. All right, anybody else? Anybody out there? I tell you what. Go ahead, Malcolm.
What's that noise?
It's coming from you.
Hey,
I don't know.
Hey, just keep going. That's all. That's all.
Well, I'd like to hear from y'all. Well, God is good. He is so good. He's been so good in our lives, even since we've been here. Amen. All right, anybody else?
Michael.
Yes,
yesterday,
sir.
Yesterday, I fell down the steps outside our house. By some miracle, I landed on the only strip of grass between the sidewalk and the steps. So, but I'm a little bit bruised up today. So, I need prayer that the two things. Usually when I bruise myself, months later, the devil would bring the arthritis on. And so I'm praying against arthritis, and that these bruises would heal up fast.
Okay. You don't want that arthritis, do you?
No, I don't.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to pray, Wade.
God's been good to me. He usually heals it once I determine that's what it is. But I get stupid sometimes. I don't think, that's a bruise, that's arthritis, that's what the problem is. Sometimes I just say, oh, well. Anyway, I'm glad lately I haven't been allowing the devil to put arthritis on me. But I did fall yesterday, and I am bruised up a little bit.
Okay, well, let's just pray and believe, okay?
Okay.
All right, in the name of Jesus, right now, we come against those bruises. We come against that spirit of arthritis that tries to jump on Wade. And we command you, by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, to get yourself away from it. You're not allowed there. He's already declared it, and we believe it. And you don't have any authority there from this point on, in Jesus' name. And bruises, you heal up now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. There's no more pain. Pain's gone. Pain, you got to go in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that Wade is completely healed of bruises, arthritis, or anything else. And Father, we thank you for place it in wait. If something tries to come back as pain, for him to rebuke it and command it to go in the name of Jesus, because it ain't got no right there. That's a child of God, and such as a child of God, it has no right there. And we praise you, Father, that Wade is healed, delivered, and set free from arthritis and pain in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you think, Wade?
Good enough.
Amen, brother. You're healed. Yes, sir.
Also, my neighbors, did they get their washer and dryer fixed so I don't have to have, you know, them coming at weird hours of the day and night to wash clothes. You know.
Okay.
They have somebody in their house that had body lice. And I'm just a little bit fearful that I could get them here, but I don't believe that. I believe God will keep my house clear of any body lice. And keep their house clear of body lice too.
Amen. We set up a spiritual barrier right now from any kind of body lice coming in Wade and Jeanette's house. Right now, in Jesus' name, you're not allowed. You can't come in Jesus' name. If you try to come in on somebody, you better stay on that somebody, because you're going to die when you come in Wade and Jeanette's room. Right, Wade?
Amen.
Amen,
amen,
brother.
I remember that,
thank you, Lord.
That David Eel talked about the guy who... David told him he was being bothered by gnats. The gnats were all over him. And he was told to make up a disease for the gnats. And if they got near him, they'd get sick. And if they touched him, they would die. And that's what the guy prayed, and that's what happened. I don't remember which program that was, but that was David Eel's witnessing about one of the persons that had prayed by faith such things. Imagination. I think it was number 9 of the real good news.
Amen. That's a powerful way to pray, isn't it? Imagine it in your mind as you're praying that it's happening in Jesus' name, and that will take care of it. Praise God. Amen. That's right. All right. Anything else, brother?
Mute me.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
And I'll share a testimony. My son and daughter-in-law moved into an apartment, and it was all of a sudden it was like infested with cockroaches, and they ended up moving out of there, and we were trying to keep everything, just be very careful, check everything before we packed it, you know, in that. And they moved into their new house, and all of a sudden they're seeing cockroaches in their new house. And we just prayed over those cockroaches, and we commanded them to, you know, basically die. And the funny thing was is that she never saw a cockroach again. And in her oven, she had like a digital clock or, you know, on the little control panel. And a cockroach got up into that control panel, and it was just a reminder, and just died right there. So she could kind of see it, you know, behind that little control panel. But it was just a reminder that the Lord took care of it, because, we just prayed over that house, and that thing died right in its tracks, you know, right in that control panel. Didn't use any poisons, anything like that. The Lord just took care of it, and they never saw a cockroach again. So I thought that was an awesome testimony. Amen.
Amen. You mean that cockroach died right there in front of her?
Right there in front of her, just as a reminder, as a testimony.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, last summer I was back in Arkansas in one of my sheds out back, and I'd open up, it was a big garage doors, but they open up the old-fashioned way, back and around, they swing open, and there was a big old red wasp nest right there. Boy, and I got popped 5 times before I could get out of there, and I just prayed. I said, I rebuke these things in the name of Jesus. Ain't going to be no pain, ain't going to be no itching, ain't going to be nothing. And, you know, I never had a minute's problem out of those stings. But, and you know, initially, yes, but after that, nothing. Praise God for God's goodness to us. All right, anybody got any testimonies, praise report. All right. Well, you know, just another testimony. We have prayed numerous storms around us. This whole fellowship has prayed numerous storms to go around us, and we just have, you know, fine weather through it. Jesus says in John 14:14, if you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. Praise God. You know, what else do you want? You just pray and you believe. Praise God. That's all we have to say. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, past tense, and you shall have them. That's all past. It's already been taken care of. All we have to do is believe, praise God. And if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. If two of us hook our faith together, there ain't nothing that we can't get accomplished through God. I'm telling you, it's just that powerful. God is so awesome in the way he has set up his kingdom. Everything, he says, the blessings of heaven are available to you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. He's got a lot of blessings up there, and all we have to do to access them is to have faith. And you know what? If you don't have faith, you can ask God to give it to you, and he'll do it. As simple as that. Praise God. All right, anybody got any testimonies or praise reports out there? I hope y'all have been listening to the broadcast on Sunday from David. You know, he's talking about what the Lord is showing people, and he's showing us as well these things that are fixing to happen. And it's going to take great faith. It's going to take your faith hooked with the people around you to get through these things. Praise God. And, you know, it looks like it's fixing to happen here pretty quick. The Lord said in Luke 10:19, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Well, who's your enemy? Everything that comes against you. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. That is a powerful, powerful verse there. That's one you ought to put in your heart and walk around with and just flaunt it in the eyes of the devil, because that devil can't get a hold of you. If you're in the will of God, you have the power of God behind you. And when you've got the power of God behind you, ain't nothing can stand in front of you. That's the honest gospel right there. That's the true gospel right there. Praise God. Now, I know that we have times when we kind of falter in our faith. That's when you need to call your brothers or your sisters and say, hey, y'all need to help me out here. You know, call the elders. Y'all need to come help me, lay hands on me or whatever. That's what the body is for. Every piece of the body fits together to form this one body of Christ. And we all are to. You can't do nothing without the eyes of the body. You can't do nothing without the ears of the body. You can't do what you need to do without the hands of the body or the fingers. You can't do nothing what you need to do without the feet and the legs of the body. Every one of you has a gift that God's given you to be a part of this body. And there's a reason for that, so that we can all fitly join together and help one another out when the time comes. And the time, you know, it's every day. It's every day. All of us go through trials every day. Praise God. All right, anybody got any comments or anything they'd like to share? How many of you want to see? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just pray every day that we, that endurance seems to be the key, because the trials that we go through each and every day help our faith grow. I mean, they're all a gift from God. It, you know, I've heard you say it. I've heard Michael Montana say it. It's God's perspective. If we endure in our trials, our faith will grow, and then we can share the testimonies like you're sharing this evening. And that's a beautiful thing, and it's all a gift from God. I just pray, you know, my perspective has changed dramatically, and I just pray that each and every day that we stick together, we stay together as a body, and we share our gifts, and we endure in our faith, because there's, you know, the scripture, any scripture you pick out, it's not about the fluffy and the prosperous and the rich and everything. It's about, it's people going through trials. It's trial after trial after trial that people go through. And, you know, we can get fired up like you are this evening, and we can help one another, and we can endure in our faith, and we can grow. And because times are coming that we have to, that we have to stick together, and God is good, and we'll make it, because the book says we will. Amen.
Amen. That's the truth too.
Hold it this way so we can still see your nail.
Who is that?
Hey.
That you, Tim? I'm gonna mute you. And that's true, Chris. We got to have the faith, and we need each other's help at times, a lot of times. And that's why we're here. We're here to help one another, lift one another up, encourage one another. Not tear down, not to condemn, but to encourage one another. I know that we falter at times, and all of us do, you know, but God, in His grace and His mercy, He'll pick us back up and set us back on that road. And we as brothers and sisters need to encourage one another all the time. Say, hey, brother, can I give you a hand? Let me give you a hand here. You know, pray for you. And then pray for the ones that you know that are faltering. And God, listen, we just had an incident here recently that a brother was faltering, and we just went into prayer and fasting. I know David fasted, and he prayed, and we had victory. Praise God. We had victory. It was a great breakthrough. And praise God. And we've seen that happen time and time and time again. When we pray for, see, God warns us about somebody that's faltering. And all we do is go into that spiritual warfare mode of praying for them, hooking our faith together and believing. And I'm telling you, it's just amazing how quick God answers these our prayers for us. It's just amazing. Thank you, Lord. Well, it seems to be amazing, but you know, it's becoming such an everyday thing now. We just take it for granted that God's going to answer our prayers. So, and that's the place you want to be in. That's a good place to be in. I'm telling you, when you know that you pray, God's going to answer them. And that's where God wants us. He wants us in that place. For when we pray, and we know when we pray, God's going to answer. Man, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to see some miracles. You're going to be able to get out there and tell people about and have these testimonies of God's grace and His mercy on our lives. Praise God. I'm getting excited about what God's doing in everybody's life. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
Anybody? I have a prayer request.
Yes, go ahead, Terry.
Our son and daughter-in-law could definitely use prayer for their marriage. And I know our son's wife had at one time been delivered from some demons, and it sounds like they're back. And she has fits of rage, and she hits herself. She'll hit her head against the wall and stuff, and just hit herself with her fists. And
amen.
She hits our son too. So, I need prayer for wisdom on how to talk with my son when he talks to me, and how I talk with her. I've just been really encouraging to her, but I don't know if I'm supposed to talk to her about it or not. I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. Are both of them Christian?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
but they're really struggling.
Okay. Do they have faith? to believe that when we pray, it's going to happen.
Well, they want to believe, but I think they're struggling in their faith.
Okay, well, let's just pray and believe for them, okay? God does that.
Okay.
All right. What's their names?
Mitch and Jessica.
Okay. Well, Father, we just lift up Terry's son and daughter-in-law to you. And we thank you for the work that you're doing in them, Lord. They seem to be struggling here, and you probably already know all. Well, I know you know all of this. But we come and hook our faith together for these two, Lord, and to lift them up to you, Lord. And we thank you for delivering her daughter, Terry's daughter-in-law, from all of these fits of rage. Rage, anger, go right now in the name of Jesus out of her. I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You leave her now in Jesus' name. And any unforgiveness in there, you go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just ask and we pray that if she still hangs on to unforgiveness, that you'll bring it to her attention so she knows and understands the doorway to all of these demonic activity is through unforgiveness. And Father, we thank you that you're going to set her free and she's going to be a light to the rest of the family. And Lord, I thank you that you've given Terry's son, Joseph, great faith to believe for his wife, to take that authority that you have given him in his family and to command those demons out in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to make a great man of faith out of him too, because we're praying for him, we're going to believe for him. I'm going to write it down, and we're going to continue to pray for him and believe, Lord, for him and her and Terry. Lord, we just ask and we pray that you give Terry great wisdom in how to deal with this situation. Lord, we know on your knees is the way to deal with these types of situations. And Father, we also ask that you give her words to say and her husband words to say to their son, in how to deal with this activity in their household. And we just praise you, Father. We're going to look for a mighty miracle here shortly. We're going to have a great testimony of your goodness and your delivering power in this family in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Does everybody believe that?
Amen.
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 Thank you,
Michael.
Lord.
Hey, Michael. Yes. I just got the spirit of rejection, so I just want to come against that. So, Father, right now we just bind up that spirit of rejection, and we forbid that spirit to manifest in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for just giving her the hunger for your truth, the hunger for your word. We ask, Lord, that you allow her to press in to renew her mind. And get the truth in her, and that we know, Lord, that truth will set her free. And Lord, we're believing that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else get anything they'd like to pray about on Terry's son and daughter? That's the way the body works. Praise God. That's body ministry. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
And did the sister say that the lady was hitting herself?
Yes.
Yes.
I read a testimony by a brother. I think it was Mahesh Shabda in a book called Fasting. And he was in working in an institution where there were people that had quite great handicaps. And there was this one young man there that would beat himself in the face to the point his whole face was just like leather. He had beat himself so much. And he just had compassion on this man, and he went on a fast. He fasted, I think it was either 10 or 14 days. And the spirit manifested. It was a spirit of self-mutilation. And when he rebuked it in the name of the Lord, the young man flew through the air and hit the wall and came down to the ground, and all of a sudden he lifted his hand and put it to his face and just began to caress his face and began to weep and weep. Mm-hmm. And the Lord delivered him. And I just believe that, you know, when somebody is abusing themselves, there's self-hatred or self-mutilation is the spirit that's behind that many times. And you know, many times, even as Henry Wright has said, that there's things that come just from not dealing with ourselves, having self-hatred or self, you know, not being able to have any, accept ourselves. You know, there's something there that, you know, you love your neighbor as yourself, and if you can't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor either. And I don't mean it in a wrong way, but I believe that it might be an encouragement to read that it's the first chapter of the book. I think it's Mahesh Shabda on fasting. And this is a brother who did 29, 40-day fast that the Lord allowed him to share about him later in life. And that was, he had been a man of great fasting. And he talks about the victory he had through that area. But
amen. Prayer and fasting is a good thing, man. It's really powerful.
Yeah, thank you.
Anybody else got anything they'd like to add? All right. We're going to be praying for you, girl.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about tonight?
Yeah, Brother Michael.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You know, what David shared the other day on the broadcast, I not only, you know, it's one thing to see these things and to believe these things. I believe that, and I do. And God, I've been experiencing, even without what David shared, I've been experiencing the same thing. Just God kind of enlarging my heart to the incredible cry of innocent blood, the incredible cry. You know, it says in the scripture that when Cain was slew his brother, the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? He said, how am I supposed to know him? I'm my brother's keeper. He said, behold, his blood cries to me. And then you see in the book of James 5, it says, behold, the hire of those who have reaped back your fields, which of you has been kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them that have reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. And then you see in the book of Revelation where he said, and I saw those that were slain for the testimony of the Lord, or of the word of God, and they cried day and night unto God, saying, how long, O Lord, will you not avenge the blood of your servants? In Hebrews 12, it says, you've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, which speaketh better things than Abel. Abel's blood screamed for vengeance, and this cup of iniquity, when it says in the scripture that the cup of iniquity is full, it's speaking of that cry of innocent blood that demands vengeance from the Most High. And I believe that this nation, I'm experiencing that right now in my spirit. It's deeper than just, you know, I used to read the news and hear what's going on, and I'd have all kinds of, you know, I'd be angry at this and angry at that and frustrated with this and that. But I'm experiencing a whole new arena right now, and I believe the Lord wants, I believe the Lord spoke to my heart one time. We look at that scripture in Hebrews 4 when it says, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But I believe the Lord spoke to my heart and said to me that he was looking for people that were touched with his infirmity. And when you talk of the Lord, you say, does he have infirmity? Well, you look at this scripture again and again, and it grieved the Lord that he had made man, for the thoughts of men's hearts were only evil continually, for violence covered the land. When there's the cry of all the innocent blood, the cry of the abducted ones and all of this people taken captive against their wills and used for horrendous, torturous experiences, and the cry of all of the saints of God whose blood is being spilled like water. You know, you look at that scripture in the 94th chapter of Psalms. It says, oh, Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, oh God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift thou thyself up, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. How long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord. They afflict thy heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. And yet they say, the Lord will not see, the God of Jacob shall not regard. And then he says, understand ye brutish among the people and fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teaches man knowledge, shall he not know? But anyway, I won't go through that whole thing, but that portion that he's saying, there's a, you know, David's going, how long, God? How long? And what he's saying is, Lord, when are you going to vindicate? When are you going to rise up? You know, it says in, I think it's Isaiah 64, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when a melting fire burneth, causing waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, and the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, thou camest down, and the mountains flowed down at thy presence. And there's a cry right now, but I really felt like the Lord was taking me. The other night I had a pretty deep encounter with the Lord in the middle of the night. I woke up and I just felt like it was time to go pray. And when I was up, I just began to feel what was on God's heart. I felt the burden, a burden of the Lord. And it reminded me of that scripture in the 9th chapter of Ezekiel, when the Lord said, I saw 5 angels and one of them had a writer's ink horn, and the other 4 had slaughter weapons in their hand. And the Lord said of that one angel, you go forth and mark those that sigh and cry for the iniquities committed in this city. And start at my house. And then the other 4 angels follow after him and kill, spare not, let your eyes spare not, slay old, young, women, maids, little children, and start at my house. But don't touch those that have the seal of God on their foreheads, those that have been sealed, because they are mourning and crying, otherwise interceding, carrying the heart and burden of the Lord for those that are, for the innocent blood, for the fraud, for the iniquity done in the land. And I just believe, I touched something in my spirit that night that I have touched before, but this was a new depth that I'd never touched before. And I know that God wants us not to go there, but to live there. He's looking for a people that will carry the burden of the Lord. And you look in the scriptures in the 23rd chapter, I think, of Jeremiah, when he says, and woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my flock, saith the Lord. They strengthen the hand of evildoers so that none return from their wickedness, who say to them that despise me, the Lord says, you shall have peace. And to everyone that walks after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. I'm against the prophets that use their own tongues and say, he saith, I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy. I have not sent them, yet they run. And then he says, and woe to you, who when you are asked, what is the burden of the Lord? And you shall answer, what burden? He said, I will utterly forsake you, saith the Lord. You know, we don't need to be a people that when we're asked, what is the burden of the Lord? And we go, what burden? Is there a problem? We need to be in a place where we are so identified with the Lord. We're carrying his heart, his spirit can entrust us to stand in the gap between the dying and the living. And right now, you know what David was sharing, it went so much deeper than, yeah, a lot of people are going to die. I have this in my spirit that most of the people in this land will not live through the next couple of years or the next 2 years. I really believe that. And it's not something that I don't look at it. I'm looking at it now, and I'm starting to just groan in my spirit for you know, the little ones. You know, I have a friend that was over in Yugoslavia when they had, you know, they were just killing people left and right back then when Clinton was trying to cover up his little ordeal. But anyway, they had a war over there, and there were children that were just, they had no father. Their mothers and fathers were dead, and they were just, it wasn't fair. It was, you know, it was not a right thing. They didn't get a chance to live their lives like a normal person. But you know what? They were in the middle of it anyway. And there's going to be a lot of people who didn't deserve it any more than anybody else, but they're in the middle of it. This, when a land goes into judgment, when a land goes into war, suffering is very, very great. And there's a lot of terrible loss and terrible unfairness and terrible injustice. You know, Elijah wept when he anointed Hazael, king of Assyria, and then he began to weep. And he goes, "What are you weeping for?" He said, "Because I see all the women that you're going to slay with a sword, women with child that you're going to dash open." And he goes, "Well, what are you talking about? Am I a dog?" He says, "You're going to be the king of Syria, the Lord just told me." But this guy, he saw in the future what this guy was going to do to the children of Israel, the women of Israel that had babies in their stomach, and that he was going to destroy them and cut them or dash them open. They said he began to weep. Elisha began to carry a burden. He saw it in the future. And brothers, I see it in the future right now. I see such a carnage and such a terrible loss of life that's at hand. And God is desiring deeply right now that his people will stand in the gap. You know, it says in the scriptures that no greater love has any man than that he should lay down his life for his friend. You know, it says in the scripture, "You then that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." This is in the first Romans 50. "You then that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please yourself. Let each one of you please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen on me." And, you know, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." The commandment that if you ask the people, what's the great commandment? They'll say, love your neighbor as yourself. And I say, no, that's not it. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you. Not that you love your neighbor as yourself, but that you love your brother as I have loved you. Otherwise, to lay down your life for your brother. No greater love has any man than he lay down his life for his friend." And when we were young, he said to Peter, "Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself, went wherever you would. When you're older, another's going to gird you and take you where you would not." Thus signifying the death with which he was to glorify God. And God wants us to come to a place where, you know, when we're young, we did our own thing. We lived unto ourselves. And you see that about young people, you know, unless they're raised in an incredibly godly home. You know, the first thing that comes out is a scream of out of the little babe. And that from that time on, it's a battle for the child to come to a place where they understand that the world doesn't revolve around them. And the first time that they're weaned and they throw a bloody fit when they find out that nobody's going to come in the middle of the night and give them something warm to keep them happy. But I tell you what, when we come to a place of maturity, we no more live unto ourselves. Maturity means that we live and live our lives for others. That love seeks not its own. The love lays down its life for another. And in the kingdom of God, it thrives on this. Jesus said, "The greatest among you shall be the servant of all." And this is where God's calling the people right now. And it's not enough to say, yep, all them heathen and all them flaky church people are going to get killed and it's the judgment's coming on the house of God and all this. Oh, brothers, that's not God's heart. God's heart is that we should stand in the gap, that we should be a people who carry his heart and his burden, because he doesn't want the lame turned out of the way. He wants them healed. He doesn't want to destroy the bruised reed or quench the smoking flax. He wants that thing to be nurtured until it comes into a flame and the bruised reed to be strengthened until it can grow again. And that's what God's heart is right now. And I know in my heart right now that if we get a hold of, I think right now if we got a hold of it the way that the Lord gets a hold of it, it would break us, the burden that's on his heart right now. Because God doesn't desire, it's not his joy. The death of the wicked doesn't give him thrill. But obviously their judgment has to come, and I believe it's been set. You know, there's a place I read in Ezekiel the other night when I was reading, and he said in there, you know, you say that the prophecy is for a long ways off somewhere, but he said, but no more is that proverb is going to be used. The time is now. And brethren, the time has come upon us that the land that we live in, and probably starting here, but all over the world. Not starting here either, because what's going on in Syria and other places, there are many places that are in great suffering. But this land, much is given, much is required. And in a nation that has the brass writing, God we trust on their dollar bills, and kill a good half of their offspring that are conceived in the nation, is in for a terrible shaking. And the less prepared, one brother said from studying history, that the less prepared people are for a crisis, the more savage they are when it comes. That's what he learned by reading history. And we're in for a time of tremendous shaking in our land. But God wants a people right now that will come out of themselves, because, you know, we can have, you know, we can be in a place where we have faith for our own blessings, for our own healing, for our own everything else. And that's very nice. But God wants to take us higher, because the greatest love is not to seek its own, but to seek another's. And I'll tell you what, when you come to a place where you're poured out for another, your own needs will be met as a byproduct. You know, it's in giving that we receive. It's in dying that we live. It's as that, you know, the old prayer of Francis of Assisi or whatever it is, Assisi, but that it's in giving that we receive. And I know, and I've learned in my own experience, like when I've been in a place where the stream dried up and I was in a, you know, there was nothing coming in, and I was going, what's wrong with this situation here? And I began to wonder, why is my resource dried up? And I found out the best thing you can do in that situation is give everything you have to the neediest person you know. And it pops the cork out of the bottle. It's something that God wants to take us to a place where our needs are met by laying down our life for others. That we come to a place where the faith that works by love begins to work in our heart toward others, then our own needs are met, every one of them. And as we be poured out for the lives of those left and right around us, I see people that profess the Lord who have got their stash and they've got their beans and they've got their stuff and they plan on defending it with their little Uzi. And they're far clue from the heart of the Lord. A true man of God would be ready to give his last cup of beans to a needy brother and trust God for manna. That's what God wants to bring us to. And in this hour, we're going to get a chance. I think Matthew 25 is going to be manifested. He says, you know, this story. I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. Sick, you visited me naked. You clothed me a stranger. You took me in prison and you visited me. And they said, but Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink, or whatever? He said, what you did to the least of the brothers, you did to me. He said, the least of the brothers. This is going to be an opportunity. It's one thing when everybody's full and everybody's got a car and everybody's got it. You know, it's pretty easy to think you're something that you're not. But when you see your brothers in need, I mean really in need, like we're going to see so many things in this hour, it's going to be a very strong litmus test of what's really there, whether we're walking in love, whether we're seeking our own or seeking that of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we're seeking the wealth of our brother, whether we're willing to lay down our life for our friend, whether we're willing to become the sacrificed lamb so that others can have life. Because that's what Paul said when he said, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. I think that's in maybe 2 Corinthians 4. In the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, it says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, so that we may be able to comfort others that are in any trouble with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the affliction of Christ abounds in us, so our consolation abounds by Jesus Christ. So that when we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which becomes effectual in the enduring of the sufferings which we also suffer. Paul said in Colossians, I, Paul, am made a minister who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. What does he mean also when he says in 1 Peter 3, he says, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing rather than for evil, for Christ also suffered for sin. When we talk about taking up the cross, there's a tangible thing that takes place when we bear the cross of Christ in our life and lay down our life for the cause of Christ in the life of others. death works in us, life in you. And we're literally the same way it says, for Christ also suffered for sin. When you're suffering for righteousness' sake, when you're laying down your life for the needs of another, you're bearing the cross of Jesus Christ, and there is a resurrection that comes forth out of that death that brings a healing to that situation, that brings the life of Christ, that brings the virtue of Christ into that situation, and brings deliverance in that situation. And God wants to take us out of that. When you were a child, you went where you would, you ate what you would, you did what you would. But if you'll take the burden of the Spirit on your heart, if you allow the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul said, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing what befalls me, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city that bonds and afflictions await me. That's what he said. And brother, we need to be bound in the Spirit in this hour, bound to the burden of Christ, that we're moved, that we would be those ones in Ezekiel 9 that would get a mark in our foreheads because we sigh and we mourn and we intercede for the iniquity that's in the land. It moves us just like it moves the Lord. It breaks our heart what's going on, that we're not just living, hallelujah, I'm happy and saved, praise God, and the rest of the world can go to hell in a breadbasket, but we're in a place where we become that sacrificed lamb in this world right now to be poured out just like Jesus was and purchase redemption to all of those around us, and that in this hour we're those who, the faith of God that works by love, that we're seeking not our own, that we're laying down our life for the brethren, that we carry the burden of the Lord Jesus Christ and we live not unto ourselves, but it's as again that scripture, we then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen on me. God wants us to bear in our body the sufferings and the dying of the Lord Jesus so that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. For death works in us, but life in you. And I believe with all my heart right now, the Lord is calling a people into that secret place, and when you begin to come out of yourself and into Christ and into his heart right now, there should be right now a great and deep grieving, mourning, and intercession, because brothers and sisters, there's a terrible, terrible, terrible crisis at hand, and the innocent blood is going to flow like water, and it's right now. There's going to be children, there's going to be women, there's going to be pregnant women, all of them. It's going to be little ones. It's not fair what's coming. Not fair to all. But when a land goes into judgment, the suffering is widespread. And it's time for us to be that people that can stand in the gap and can be our lives poured out, planted in, like the corn of wheat, so that out of that death, resurrection life can come forth, and that we can be a source of life, hope, redemption in the midst of suffering, in the midst of this hour, and a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden.
Amen. Yeah, these are serious times we're in. Thank you, Michael. Awesome message. One, we need to pray. We need to fast and pray for the elect across the world, that God's chosen across the world, that God would protect them. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Fasting along with praying is powerful because you're killing the flesh that hinders your prayer life most of the time. As you fast, though, you come into that spiritual life and boy, it's just an awesome time with the Lord. Just like Michael said when he was talking about the person who prayed and fasted for 14 days to see this other person set free. Man, that's what we ought to be doing for one another, is fasting and praying for those that we know that are struggling. Bring them up out of that struggle. Give them, prop them up, you know. Praise God. All right, anybody got any comments? It's serious times we're coming in. David talked about the ISIS in the U.S. Of course, we all know that could happen most any time. You know, the prophecies we've seen, the words we've seen, that they're going to happen during the holidays or right after the first of the year. So I don't know. We'll just see. But we still need to be praying for one another. Whether it happens then or later, it makes no difference. We still need to be praying. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to talk about?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
No, I just know what Michael Montana shared is just, just is really hitting home as far as, us really standing in the gap for our brothers out there that are, lost in the apostate system and stuff like that. And I just see where sometimes we want to speak against them or judge them or, but we need to stand in the gap and just pray for them and just believe for them and just be a light to them and just allow them to see Christ in us. And, when these times come, that we just need to be there for them and not, I told you so or anything like that, but just have compassion for them and believe for them. So that's, it's really the flesh and the devil that's brought such a division in the body, with all the sects and different gospels and different doctrines. And a lot of these people are just in works and they're just under the law or they're striving and they don't understand the sabbatismo rest and they don't understand truly walking in faith. So it's just an area that the Lord has blessed us in. So we just need to stand in the gap and just pray for, our lost, or even our family members or those that, we know that are still in the system and running after prosperity or running after, just their works or whatever it is. And just be a light and be there for them, when those times come. So that just definitely blessed me. So I thought I'd share that comment.
Amen. It blessed me too. I figured it out one time, not too long ago, probably a year or two ago, maybe a couple of years ago. There's something like a little over 7 billion people in the planet at that time. And the first three trumpets that go off are going to wipe everything out down to 1.2 billion people. So 6 billion people are going to die right off the get-go. That's a lot of folks. And so we need to be praying for one another. We need to be fasting and praying for one another. That is a powerful too. Did you know that there's never been a spiritual awakening across this world that didn't start with a group of people praying for an awakening? And that's what we need to do. We want revival to start right here and amongst us, don't we? I do. So, we need to put it in our heart, ask the Lord to put it in our heart to pray and fast for this revival to start right here in us. And it starts in us. And I'm going to tell you something. It'll go from here to across the nation. Because when God starts this thing, it ain't going to stop. Praise God. Past revivals has told us a lot of things. A lot of things. All right. Anybody else want to make a comment or have something they'd like to share?
I'll share something real quick. While we've been on the conference call, I got a text message from Jeff and Sandy out in California. And apparently just about an hour ago, they had a 4.3 earthquake, and he said it sounded like a truck drove by, and then all of a sudden the whole building shook. And then he said there was an aftershock, and then he just texted me now and said they just had another one. So he's all excited out there. So I thought I would just pass that on.
Well, they had a 4.9 yesterday. I told him, I said, y'all need to gather up and get yourself home back here, you know. Praise God. Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for protecting Jeff and Sandy while they're out there, Father. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you bring them home safely and sound. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share? Testimony, a praise report. Just like to pray. Because I'm fixing to talk about revivals if you don't. Well, there was an American Revolution between 1776 and 1781. And don't a whole lot of people realize that in the wake of the American Revolution that there was a moral slump. Drunkenness became epidemic. And out of a population of 5,300,000 were confirmed drunkards. And they were burying 15,000 of them every year. And cursing and profanity was of the most shocking kind, it says. And for the first time in the history of the American settlement, women were afraid to go out at night for fear of assault. Bank robberies were a daily occurrence. The churches, what about the Methodists were losing more members than they were gaining. The Baptists said that they had their most wintry season. The Presbyterians in General Assembly deplored the nation's ungodliness. And in a typical congregational church, in 16 years, had not taken one young person into their fellowship. The Lutherans wanted to discuss with the Episcopalians about joining them because both of them were bad off. The Protestant Episcopal Bishop of New York quit functioning. He had confirmed no one for so long that he decided he was out of work, so he went to get him a job. The Chief Justice of the United States, John Marshall, wrote to the Bishop of Virginia, James Madison, that the church was too far gone ever to be redeemed. Voltaire, you remember him, reading about him, and Tom Paine echoed that Christianity will be forgotten in 30 years. A poll taken at Harvard had discovered not one believer in the whole student body. They took a poll at Princeton, which was at the time a more evangelical place, where they discovered only two believers in the student body and only five that didn't belong to the filthy speech movement of that day. Students rioted. They held a mock communion at Williams College. And they put on anti-Christian plays at Dartmouth. They burned down the Nassau Hall at Princeton. They forced the resignation of the president of Harvard. They took a Bible out of a local Presbyterian church in New Jersey and burned it in public bonfire. And Christians were so few on campus in the 1790s that they met in secret like a communist cell and kept their minutes in code so that no one would know. How did the situation change? Well, there was a Scottish Presbyterian minister in Edinburgh named John Erskine who published a memorial, as he called it, pleading with the people of Scotland and elsewhere to unite in prayer for the revival of religion. He sent one copy of his book to Jonathan Edwards in New England. And the great theologian was so moved, he wrote a response which grew longer than a letter, so that finally he published it as a book entitled A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of All God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and the Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth Pursuant to Scripture, Promises, and Prophecy. Man, that's a title, isn't it? Don't y'all agree that that's what's missing here? And that's missing from most of our evangelical efforts now is explicit agreement, visible unity, and unusual prayer. A movement started in Britain through William Carey, Andrew Fuller, and John Sutcliffe, and other leaders who began what the British call the Union of Prayer. Hence, the year after John Wesley died, and he died in 1791, the Great Awakening began and swept Great Britain. And in New England, there was a man of prayer named Isaac Backus, a Baptist preacher, who in 1794, when conditions were at their worst, addressed an urgent plea for prayer for revival to pastors of every Christian denomination in America. The churches knew that their backs were to the wall. All the churches adopted the plan until America, like Britain, was interlaced with a network of prayer meetings, which set aside the first Monday of each month to pray. And it wasn't long before revival came. When the revival reached the frontier in Kentucky and encountered a people really wild and irreligious, and Congress had discovered that in Kentucky, there had not been more than one court of justice held in 5 years. And Peter Cartwright, a Methodist evangelist, wrote that when his father had settled in Logan County, it was known as Rogue's Harbor. The decent people in Kentucky formed regiments of vigilantes to fight for law and order, and then fought a pitched battle with outlaws and lost. There was a Scotch-Irish Presbyterian minister named James McGreedy, whose chief claim to fame was that he was so ugly that he attracted attention. That's ugly. McGreedy settled in Logan County, pastor of three little churches, and he wrote in his diary that the winter of 1799, for the most part, was weeping and mourning with the people of God. Lawlessness prevailed everywhere. McGreedy was such a man of prayer that not only did he promote the concert of prayer every Monday, first Monday of the month, but he got his people to pray for him at sunset on Saturday evening and sunrise Sunday morning. And then in the summer of 1800 comes the Great Kentucky Revival. 11,000 people came to a communion service, and McGreedy hollered for help. Regardless of denomination, the denominational lines were broken. And out of that second great awakening came the whole modern missionary movement and its societies. Out of it came the abolition of slavery, popular education, Bible societies, and many social benefits accompanying the evangelistic drive. Praise God. That's what prayer will do. It will change an entire country. And in 1858 and 1860 was the second great awakening. Praise God. The country was divided over the issue of slavery, and people were making money hand over fist. But in September of 1857, a man of prayer, Jeremiah Lamphere, started a businessman's prayer meeting in the upper room of the Dutch Reformed Church Consistory building in Manhattan. In response to his advertisement, only 6 people out of a population of 1 million showed up. But the following week, there were 14, and then 23, and then it was decided to meet every day for prayer. And by late winter, they were filling the Dutch Reformed Church, then the Methodist Church on John Street, then the Trinity Episcopal Church on Broadway at Wall Street. And in February and March of 1858, every church and public hall in downtown New York was filled. Horace Greeley, the famous editor, sent a reporter with horses and buggy racing around the prayer meetings to see how many men were praying. In 1 hour, he could get to only 12 meetings, but he counted 6,100 men attending. And then a landslide of prayer began, which overflowed to the churches in the evening. People began to be converted, 10,000 a week in New York City alone. The movement spread throughout New England. The church bells bringing people to prayer at 8 in the morning, 12 noon, and 6 in the evening. And the revival raced up the Hudson and down the Mohawk, where the Baptists, for example, had so many people to baptize that they went down to the river, cut a big hole in the ice, and baptized them in the cold water. A man, when you got a Baptist who's willing to do that, they are on fire, praise God. And when the revival reached Chicago, a young shoe salesman went to the superintendent of the Plymouth Congregational Church and asked if he might teach Sunday school. Well, the superintendent said, "I'm sorry, young fellow, I have 16 teachers too many, but I'll put you on the waiting list." And the young man said, "I want to do something now. I got to do something right now." How many of you were at that point when you first got saved? "I want to do something for Jesus." Well, the guy told him, he said, "Well, why don't you go ahead and start a class?" "Well, how do I start a class?" He said, "Get some boys off the street, but don't bring them here. Take them out into the country, and after a month, you will have control of them, so bring them in. That will be your class." Well, he took them to a beach on Lake Michigan, and he taught them Bible verses, and he taught them Bible games, and then he took them to the Plymouth Congregational Church. You know who that man was? That was Dwight Lehman Moody. And that was the beginning of a ministry that lasted 40 years. Praise God. My. The Trinity Episcopal Church in Chicago had 121 members in 1857. 1,400 in 1860. And that was typical of the churches back then. More than 1 million people were converted to God in 1 year out of a population of 30 million. That's 6 men started that. And then that same revival jumped the Atlantic, appeared in Ulster, Scotland, and Wales, and then England, parts of Europe, South Africa, and South India. Anywhere there was an evangelical cause, it sent mission pioneers to many countries, and effects were felt for 40 years. And having begun in a movement of prayer, it was sustained by a movement of prayer. That movement lasted for a generation. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. That's what prayer will do. 6 people started that, and over 30 million people saved. And ain't no telling, you know, that's just a rough estimate. Ain't no telling how many were saying. And then it goes on and on and on. It talks about other revivals in there that were started by just a handful of people praying fervently to God for the things needed. And revival is needed in this country and the world more than ever. And we're going to see it, praise God. We're going to see a revival. Oh, my goodness, I get excited just thinking about it, because God's going to kick down these walls of these denominations, and the people are going to come pouring out of those apostate religions and come fogging to the light of the true gospel. And you know what's going to do it? Well, God's judgment's going to do a large portion of it, but they're going to see the light of Jesus Christ in our lives. And they're going to run to it like a moth after a light bulb. That's the way they're going to do it. They're going to see the light. They're going to, signs and wonders are going to do it. Praying's going to bring them in. All of that's going to play a part in this. So everybody has a part and a place in God's kingdom. If you don't do anything but pray, that's probably one of the most important things that you could do, is intercessory prayer. Praying for the people of God. God's already chosen these people from the foundation of the world. They just don't know it yet. And that, what's going to show them is, of course, God's going to pull them to him. And this judgment is going to wake them up to get their mind and their eyes off the world. And then they're going to come running to Jesus. And they're going to come running to the Jesus in you and I and all of us. And they're going to ask you questions that you're going to have to be prayed up in order to answer. And they're going to be some people that you wouldn't think possible that God would save. But he's going to do it. Praise God. He's going to do it. You know, the down and out, God went to the poor people, didn't he? He went to the poor people of God. I've ministered in poor places, and I've ministered in affluent places. And I can tell you from experience that the poor people listen. The people who need God listen. It's the ones who have the money that don't listen. But anyway, we all have a part to play. And like Michael was talking about, one of the things that we need to be doing is praying and lifting one another up. Praise God. We've got there's 20 people on the conference call tonight. And we all ought to be praying at least 20 prayers for each other, you know. Praise God. When you think of a brother, that's God telling you need to pray for him. When you think of a sister, God's telling you pray for him. When you wake up in the middle of the night and somebody's on your mind, that's God telling you pray for them. They're in trouble. Lots of things plays a part. God talks to you in a lot of ways, many ways. If somebody comes to your mind that you haven't thought of in years, say, he's bringing them to your heart for a reason, and that's to pray for them. I had the Lord bring an old friend of mine to my heart that I hadn't thought of in, gosh, ages. And I just knew that he wanted me to pray for him, pray for his salvation. And so I did. I'm looking forward to seeing him in heaven. I don't know if I'll ever see him in this, you know, now, but I'm looking forward to seeing him in heaven. Because God's going to answer our prayers. Those who fervently seek and pray for the things that God wants you to pray for. And he wants you to pray for all of these people out here that he places in your heart. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to comment on or talk about or pray about?
Michael?
Yes.
Hi. I just want to praise the Lord that he brought me back into the congregation and helped me to overcome the fear of man and just fear in general, and for all the things that he's doing in my life and in my family's life. I just want to praise the Lord for all the revelations and the unity of the body. And I just praise the Lord for the work that he's doing in me and for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's so hard to be out there on your own with no one. And I'm just so thankful for this conference call and bringing me to it.
Amen, Cheryl. It's good to see you on tonight, girl. We're looking forward to seeing you every night.
Amen.
Praise God. Lord, we just thank you for blessing Cheryl. We thank you, Lord, for your deliverance through all of her trials, Lord. And we praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in her and her family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Well, all right. What we're going to talk about now, let's talk about Jesus. How many of you love Jesus? If you love him, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. Yeah. Y'all remember that song, don't you, Malcolm?
Oh, yeah. There's a Father up above, and he's looking down in love.
Amen. You got your piano handy?
Yeah, but it's totally out of tune.
Oh, I wouldn't know it if it was. Amen. Yeah, and you know it, say amen. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Yep, all to be on
the phone here.
that's awesome. Praise God. Anybody got a song they'd like to sing? I know y'all don't want to listen to me sing.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah.
No one is good except God.
That's right. That's right. You know, I was over at Philip's house this afternoon, and he was telling us about this wonderful software that he has that will make even me sound good. He said, I can make you sound like a singer on TV. I said, boy, that'd be cool if you could do that. I said, "Not, I don't believe you can make me sound that well." He said, yeah, I can. He said, you'd be surprised how you can take digital stuff and or audio stuff and make it sound good. But it's an awesome thing he's doing. They can do anything, I guess, you know, with the software that they have nowadays. I guess. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? One time, I'll tell you this little story, testimony about this little lady preacher. She was in the her and her husband were in a deliverance ministry. And her son was a good friend of mine, and he ran a mission in North Little Rock. And he invited me up there one night when she was coming in to hold a deliverance session for all these homeless men that were in there. And this woman, I don't know, she probably wasn't more than 5'2", weighed about 100 pounds. And these big old overgrown men was in that mission, you know, and she got to talking about the Lord, and one of these guys started manifesting back there. And, man, she jumped over on in front of him, went to commanding that devil out, and he fell out of that chair. And those devils had to go, man, I'm telling you. This is a great big old guy, and this little old woman standing over him, I was shocked. You know, I was just a new Christian at the time, and I'd befriended him because he needed some help up there at the mission, and that's what I had done, gone up. He said, he just invited me up there. He said, you want to see some deliverance? He said, come on up tonight. I said, Mama's going to be there. And that's, he said, it's, he said, you're going to see some things you've never seen before. And I did. I saw demons coming out of that man, and it was my first taste of a deliverance session by this little tiny woman, just taking authority over the demons and commanding them out. She knew her authority and power in Christ. She did, and them demons had to listen, and they did too, because they went running. This old boy fell out of that chair and just laid on the floor there for a while, and he got up and said, "Oh man, I feel so good." He hadn't been freed before. He didn't know what deliverance was until at that point in time. But that was amazing to me. A little woman. Praise God. And she's still alive too. She's got to be up in her 90s by now. Last I heard, she was anyway.
Michael,
go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I was just going to say I haven't looked at Torben's website for a while, but I just was getting a bunch of videos together for a friend of mine in prison, it was just really something to watch. If you want to really see a lot of demons kicked out, people being healed, and tons of footage, it's just it's really an upbeat thing to look at, you know, the footage on that website. Because, you know, you can see all that. A lot of people are in such bondage. Right after they're baptized, you know, they'll start casting the demons out, and they'll start, some of them really fight. Not the people, but the demons. And it's really exciting to watch, you know, the people just be transformed to these very peaceful, very happy, you know, followers of Jesus. Getting discipled and, you know, getting on their way.
What's the name of the guy?
It's Torben.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Isn't he a Swedish guy or something?
Danish, yeah.
Danish,
yeah.
Okay.
Right. Danish, actually, his YouTube site is Danish Evangelist. That's kind of his username.
Oh, okay.
So that's where the videos are posted.
Yeah, you can even find some old A.A. Allen clips on YouTube, too, of him healing people. And I don't know. Probably just about, if you put in YouTube, healing miracles, you're going to find some.
I had an experience this weekend. I ended up going to this fellowship, and there was a guy there that was manifesting. The people that go there had insisted that he, you know, stay on his drugs so that he'd stop manifesting so bad. Nobody's really aware of how to fix the problem other than drugs. And so he was talking quite a bit, and it was a little bit, he'd raise his hand and talk, it was kind of inappropriate. And so I just watched him and his mother, who's been through a lot of stuff, and I just was watching them, and I ended up after that, he came out, I was playing the piano, the organ and the piano, and he came up to me afterwards, and I thought that was unusual, and he, wanted to know if I could play a certain song, and which is actually from Gustav's Planets, which is a really cool hymn. But anyway, when I went home and got quiet, I was just in such agony for him and for his mom. I just, ever since then, I've been praying. It seems to be eclipsing all the other prayers. I think sometimes the Lord just puts people on your heart and just, it seems like you can't pray hard enough for him.
Yep, I know the feeling, man. I know the feeling. What do you want to pray for him?
I just swallowed something in my... maybe you'd hold the fort down for a minute here. Yeah, I'll try to pray. Lord, I just pray for Chris, Lord, and his mom, that you'll just open the doors so that he will be open to deliverance, put somebody across his path, Lord. Create situations. Do what you do, Lord, in your own way, and create the situation, cause them to manifest, whatever it takes. Have somebody prayed up and just in tune with you that can help him, Lord. And Lord, I pray that it goes to, all the glory goes to you and not some denomination. And I know you'll do all that in your way, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're looking forward for a complete deliverance of that young man, and we just praise you, Lord, that's going to happen. Lord, we just place it, we ask that you place it in one of the members' heart to read the Bible, find out what the promises are, and take authority over that devil, command it out in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord, that's going to happen right there. It's going to have a revival in that church in Jesus' name. We ask and we pray, Lord. He said, if we ask in your name, we shall have it. Amen. I just ask, Lord, and pray that tonight that you place it in everyone's heart that's listening. Lord, that they would pray and fast and ask you for revival and pray for revival right here, Lord. That we would continually pray until we see it manifested in their lives. And Father, I just praise you that we're going to see that happen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, I pray for Joe and Nora over there in South Africa, that Lord, you'd place it in their hearts to pray for their little community right there. And that Lord, we're going to see revival break out there and spread across Africa because of their faithfulness in praying and fasting for this revival, Lord, and I thank you for it. And Lord, we're going to hook our faith up with each other, and we're going to see revival. We want to see revival in every one of our hearts, Lord, that a overflow of the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit to overflowing, Lord. And we're just going to believe it by faith. It ain't nothing that we feel. It's just something that we believe. And Father, I thank you that you're filling each one of us up with your Holy Spirit right now, even as I speak. And I thank you for it, Lord. And that overcoming power has been given to each one of us to overcome the sin, to overcome these circumstances that come up into our life, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us that overcoming power, that authority in our lives, because it's Christ who lives in us. And he's the one doing the work. And all we got to do, Lord, is to have the faith to believe that you are doing that work in our life. And there's not a circumstance that comes up that you can't overcome, Lord, because you're the one that brings these circumstances around us to do one thing, and that's to strengthen our patience and our faith. I know that all things work together for the good to those who love you, Lord. And everything that happens around each one of our lives, Lord, is because you're strengthening our faith in you, Lord. And we're going to endure in that faith to the end of our walk. And we're each one, I just pray fruit-bearing faith in everybody here tonight, in Jesus' name. And Lord, that they would bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Each one of them in their lives, so that we could, once we get into heaven, Lord, we can all just praise you, Lord, and worship you and thank you, Lord, for the things that you've done in our lives. In fact, Lord, we know that we can have this kingdom of God right here on earth. In fact, we do, because you live inside of us. You live inside of us, and you're working in us the things that you want worked out in each one of us, Lord. And I know sometimes, Lord, it feels like we're being pulled through a knot hole backwards, but we know that when we come out the other side, we're going to be less all of that sin and that dirtiness that was in us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of faith that you've given each one of us, Lord. It's that overcoming faith to walk as you walked in this world, Lord. And I praise you, Lord, that you're going to place it in our hearts to lift up each other and to encourage one another and to pray for one another. Because in the days ahead, it's going to be absolutely necessary for each one of us to make it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. And I praise you for the work that you've already done and you're going to do in each one of us. I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy upon each of our lives. Because without your grace and your mercy, we could not make it at all. And we thank you for the love that you placed in our hearts for one another, Lord. It's a love that only you could provide, Lord. We couldn't have the love that we have for each other now without you, Lord. And we thank you for the patience and the God working in our lives, Lord. And I ask and I pray for your protection upon everybody out there, Lord, that's listening right now and that will listen. I pray your protection upon them and that you're going to draw them into that place of safety, Lord, when the time is right. And I thank you for providing for their needs when the time is needed. And those times when there's not going to be anything for them to get, no food, no nothing. But it's going to be from you, Lord. We know because we have faith and you've given us that faith to believe. I ask that tonight you give us a good night's sleep and also, Lord, that you'd give us a dream about the things to come. A dream, Lord, that would help the brethren. And I ask, Lord, that you provide the gifts to each one of us to help one another in Jesus' name. And I just praise you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in this fellowship. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work in them. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.